We were real thankful on Wednesday for all the help we got moving into the area and the whole bunch of people unloading this big truck and all our worldly possessions, which we need to get rid of about half of them. We own way too many things, and one of the great things about Wednesday, I moved about five or six boxes and everybody else did all the other work. So I just kept asking people to get something to drink so they could keep working. And I could keep admiring what they were doing. But thank you, everybody, for helping us get moved in. And had some good food there. We just had a real delightful day. And we're still unpacking. So if you want to visit, just weave your way through the boxes and you'll be right at home. One thing we haven't got real down yet as far as working well is a phone. So get a hold of me through the office better than at home. It's an off and on thing, and we're thankful for when it works. And it'll be working real consistent real soon. Thank the Lord for that. Back in the 1960s, Jackie Kennedy Onassis was the wife of President John Kennedy. She became Jackie Kennedy Onassis after he was shot and killed. And she lived quite an exciting life of being the president's wife and going through all kind of ups and downs in her personal life. You can imagine facing family tragedy and her own new lifestyle, her own battle with cancer and all that. And toward the end of her life, she made a statement that spoke of really the need of the human heart. She said this. She said, "You know, if I had to begin a chance to begin again and start new, I would." And in spite of all the things that she had going for her in her life, she felt like there was something that needed to change in her heart, something to be made new that she couldn't do for herself, or all the fame and fortune in the world couldn't do for her. And that's a question that the Lord deals with us about in the Bible. Can you begin new? Can you start all over again? And do you have any desire to do that? And God gives us a promise about that in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5. He tells us this: "Behold, I am making everything new." And that whole book of Revelation in that verse really refers to two works that the Lord promises to do. The first work, which is really exciting and we pray about a lot, is the work of His second coming. That Christ will come again and make everything new. A new heaven, a new earth. People will be changed. We won't be rebelling anymore or sinning against the Lord. You know, just if Christ would come and you and I would stop rebelling, that would be great enough to be a part of the second coming. And He promises that that will happen. And that He promises that will happen soon. So we thank Him for that. We're a part of praying for that and seeing that happen. And the second part of that promise is something that God does on a daily basis for believers, making us new from the inside out. Christ working on our hearts so we could be more like Him, more like He wants us to be. So that promise, "Behold, I'm making everything new," Jesus making us a new person, is both a photograph, something that will happen in time, Christ will come back, but it's also a video presentation. God's writing the story of our lives. We see that happening day after day. He's making us new on the inside out. And do you feel sometimes like Jackie Kennedy Onassis? Am I going to be made new today or not? Paul had a sense of that, wanting to be new, when he said, if any person believes in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, you see a new birth happen, or a flower, a butterfly. But God's work in the human heart, a new creation. Old past things become fresh and new. Peter had a sense of that when he said, God has given us a new birth into a living hope. Boy, people they perish without hope. Take away people's hope and not much goes on. So God wants to bring newness to our lives, especially in our walk with Him. He wants to do that on a daily basis. And one roadblock we have in terms of not wanting to begin new with Him, it would be a simple spiritual staleness, which each of us would experience in our hearts. And there's a principle in relationships that I hope each of us remember, because it comes into play in all of our friendships and also in our relationship with God. And the principle is this: all relationships tend towards staleness unless they are worked on and cultivated. All relationships tend towards staleness unless they are worked on and cultivated. If any of you are gardeners at this time, you're not letting your garden alone. It needs cultivated and worked on, or nothing good will happen there. That's true in our relationship with God also. Won't be anything new happening unless we open ourselves up to Him. We often get parched toward Him. Dry. And the Bible describes that as being in a desert with no water. And sometimes God leads us to the desert to get our attention. That's a scary experience. When the Lord says, "You come over here, I want you to feel what life is like without much help." And that's pretty scary. He wants us to feel thirst so that, again, we desire health with Himself. Other times, spiritual dryness comes because we're rebelling against God. We just want to go our own way. And that's bad also. Well, you know, thirst is a real motivator. One of the most thirsty people I've ever seen in my life was a foreign exchange student from the country of China. I worked at Geneva College for a while in campus ministry, and he had come from China a little bit earlier than the rest of the students to just kind of fit in with college life. And I don't know what happened between China and Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, but apparently he didn't get too much to drink between China and coming to Western Pennsylvania. When he came to the dormitory, he was looking around, and he's in the hallway, and he's staring at this water fountain. And he points and says, "Water." I said, "Yeah, it's a water fountain. It works. Just go ahead and drink." And he didn't know how to turn the thing on. So I went over and turned it on for him, and had his thirst quenched for about 2 or 3 minutes, drinking what we take for granted. And God tells us this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 20. "I will provide water in the desert for you." That if we feel spiritually dry toward the Lord, He will provide for us. And we could be thirsty for the Lord like that student was for water. And Christ says this. He says, "If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And someone said at the first service, "Isn't it? There's nothing like a cold drink of water on a hot day to make you feel like, oh, I'm alive again because of what the Lord provides." And to turn to the Lord for a new work in our hearts so that we might be thirsty after Him. What else do we try to quench our thirst with in this world? Well, a lot of things for sure. When the folks were unpacking the boxes for us on Wednesday, I thought to myself a little later, what if it was Christmas Day and those 80 boxes that came off the truck were all presents for me? Hey, what a Christmas. I'd be happy for a while until I got tired of unpacking the boxes. Point is, not all the stuff in the world, nor all the money in the world, can quench the thirst of my soul. Would not do that. Looking at all the stuff I own Wednesday, I give testimony. It was a blessing. None of that can quench my soul. Make me tired if I don't manage it well. Or how about power? If you and I had the power we desire to run our lives in a certain way, and we said, "Boy, if I could just get my way all the time, I would be satisfied in my soul. I would be happy." Do you think that would make you satisfied or more mean-spirited? More away from the Lord? God's Word tells us There's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death. Power doesn't quench our soul, nor can it bring renewal to our heart, to our lives with Him. It has to be the Lord Himself. And we say, Lord, make me new. Give me refreshment from Yourself. Usually there's three responses to being made new for any person. People will come to that challenge. Hear Jesus say, I'm making all things new. And usually we'll have three responses. Response number one is this. Well, I'm too bad to be made new. I'm too rebellious to start over again. That's a common response. We give up on ourselves before the Lord gives up on us. You think of the people in Scripture who God worked with and turned to Him. Moses was somebody who committed murder. He was in a fight with somebody, and he killed the man. And as far as his ability to lead people, he thought, boy, I'm not a good speaker. Let Aaron do it. But there was nothing in Moses that was too bad for the Lord to not come and deal with and make him a new person continuously throughout his life. You have problems. Not murder. The Lord works with Moses, with you and I, making him a new person. Peter, who denied Christ three times. I don't know Christ. If you didn't hear the first time, I'll say it two more times. God comes and works with him. And he becomes being made a new person with Jesus' help. I read in devotions this week in Mark chapter 5 about a fellow who was possessed by a legion of demons. Now, you might have a lot of problems, but you're probably not, you don't have a legion of demons in your life. When Jesus came and worked with that person and touched his life, the Bible says they became clothed and in their right mind. And sometimes without the Lord's help, we get mentally, spiritually, emotionally exhausted and dry. God has to come and put us in our right mind if we put ourselves in His hands. It's good to start over with the Lord. And that's the first response. I'm too bad to start over, but the Lord will help me if we turn to Him. The promise is, he who comes to Christ, he will in no way cast out. So this morning, if you feel like you're just too bad to have a new start, God would tell you you're not. The second response is this, more likely to be said by church folk. The second response is, I'm too good to need a new start. I'm too good to need a new start. What do I need to start over again for? I'm rolling well already. I received Christ in the past. Go to the church thing. What more could the Lord ask of me? When we have that heart, we stop hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And we begin to not know God very well. You can break a new, fresh beginning with Him each day. Each week, I'm so thankful for the circle of a week. The first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. Again, a new fresh start with the Lord. Paul, who was real close to the Lord, never had the thought, hey, I'm too good to start over. Why should I do that? He said, I am pressing on. That's Paul. He was in his 60s or older when he said that. I'm pressing on. He said, I have not yet arrived. And Peter had the same attitude. He said, crave pure spiritual milk as a believer. Really want to know God and hear from Him. And the third response, too good, too bad. Third response, maybe we say a lot in our hectic lifestyle. I'm too tired to start new, to start over again. I'm just wiped out by life. I'm in over my head financially. Some would say, I'm in over my head in church work. And all they want me to do is come to another meeting. I'm too tired to start over. In the 1980s, there was a fellow, Bruce Springsteen, who was a singer, you know. He had a group. I think he still sings. He had one song that made a number one hit, and one of the phrases in the song was this. I'm just tired and bored with myself. Of course, he's singing away, you know. But that lost fella had an insight about what life's like. when we just live for ourselves, yeah, we get tired and bored with ourselves. Life becomes a real drag. Too tired to start new. But the Lord says, anybody who's weary and overburdened, He'll give us rest. We can take a yoke and walk with Him. And life becomes pleasant. It becomes light with Him, with the light of the Lord. I knew a fellow back where we lived in his 80s who hadn't known Christ or gone to church at all throughout his life. Just never did. And he sensed the end of his life was coming, you know, within 20 years or so. So he wanted to have peace with God. And he, through the help of a friend, had invited Christ to be in his life and to have a new start. Can you have a new start at that point? Before he received Christ, basically lived for himself, didn't have time for others. You wouldn't want to run into him at the grocery store. Get out of my way. You bother me, kind of thought about life. But after receiving Christ, slowly began to care about people in his life. Committed to coming to worship. Was known as a pleasant, helpful person. You know, the work that God began in him, he was beginning to carry out. And what a change in that man. And I'm thinking, I hope I'm like him. You know, at my ripe age, that the Lord would keep making me a new person. And we have Rachel, she says, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm 26. I mean, I wish I was 26 and not getting any younger. But she wants to be new with the Lord. And you and I can too. He says, I am making all things new. Romans 12:1 says, be made new in the renewing of your mind. Be changed. Be transformed. You could do it. Hey, a couple of decades ago, there was a flight that took place from Miami to Nassau, and it was a plane crash. And the pilot survived, but he was in the water all by himself with a head injury. And the blood came from his injury, and sharks came around him. And they were going to devour him. And he began to kick the sharks away, and he was, as long as he could, he was going to stay alive. Had his life preserver there. A plane came overhead after him being stranded for 10 hours. Plane came overhead and saw what was happening, radioed to a Coast Guard ship or boat to come and help him out. Well, they came and helped the guy, and he had life just because of intervention. And if it wasn't for the intervention of the boat, he was gone. It wouldn't go for him at all. And you and I should know just as solidly and dramatically, except for the intervention of Christ in our lives on a daily basis, we're in big trouble. We will perish. We should want that help, just like that dying man out at sea wanted help. Now, how might you say, Lord, make me a new person? I'd say this, Lord, I want to hear from you each day. God says His mercies are new every morning. So, Lord, help me hear of Your new mercy so I could follow You. It's a moment-by-moment adventurous relationship. And there's a story of Frederick the Great who ruled Russia many years, a couple of centuries ago. And he was into science in kind of a very non-professional way. He said, I'd like to get all the babies, and I want to know what language is the most pure language in the whole world. So I want, when these babies are born, I want them put in a room, and I don't want anybody to speak to these babies. Don't let them hear anything at all. And we'll see what language the babies speak. Wasn't a very bright idea. So he gets the babies, puts them in the room. They're cared for, but they're not spoken to. Nobody tries to communicate with the babies. What happens? The babies all don't make it. They all die. What happens to you and I unless each day we say, Lord, I want to hear from You. Make me new today. Keep working on me. The work You began in me, keep bringing it to the completion until the day You come back. We die if we don't hear God, because either intentionally or unintentionally we're doing this. throughout the day as he wants to speak to us. You who are parents, don't you love to speak to your children and tell them you love them and give them direction? The Lord gives that to us also. And could you take for your heart this morning the desire and the simple prayer to the Lord? Lord, keep making me new as a child of yours. Give me that refreshment with yourself that I need. Lord, especially in this heat, we know what it is to be thirsty. Help us to be thirsty for you like that. Might you even pray, Lord, if I need to fill the desert a while to want you again, I'll go to the desert until you bring that water of yourself that I need. And as God works in your heart that way, remember the promise in 2 Corinthians 18. It says, we are being changed into His likeness. God wants to do that work. He's not giving up on any one of us. There's a lot of things in my life I wish God would keep working on. And I say, by Monday morning, I want to be all new. He's going to take a little more time, probably. He'll do the job right, not rushed. So he works on each one of us like that. And it's often been said that if God does a good work among a whole group of people in a nation or throughout the world, bring people to Christ or bring revival, one of the first things that has to happen is this. It's an exciting and intimidating thought. The reconversion of the believer. The reconversion of the believer. In other words, believers has to, again, say, you know what? Jesus is number one to us. We're going to follow Him with His help. And so I pray that that's your desire in your heart. And this morning, if you're here and have never received Christ, you're like that man in the water, in a real dramatic sense. Unless God comes and helps, your destiny is away from Him and a very sad and tragic ending. Could you cry out to God and say, Lord, make me new. Give me a fresh start with you by coming into my life and forgiving my sins. Make me a child of yours. I never felt like I was a child of God. Make me into a child of God so I could belong to you and have a life of being made new with you. As a part of closing the service, you know that kingdom that God is going to bring fully when He comes back and is growing in our hearts, I wanted us to say a Bible verse together to kind of have a commitment of being made new with Christ, which is really a theme of repentance. And the Bible verse is Mark 1:15, something that Jesus said. And He said this, just a part of that phrase. I'll say it, and then if you could say it with me together and make it a bit of a call on your life this week and each day you walk with the Lord. The verse is this. This is Jesus' first sermon, as far as we know. He said this. I'll say it, then you say it with me. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Can you say that with me? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. We'll say it one more time. Jesus says this to our hearts. Let's think of what He's saying again. His rule, near. Repent and change. Believe Christ, who's the good news. Okay? I better say it again before we say it together. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Let's say it together. God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together a closing hymn, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. If you have any needs you'd like to pray to the Lord about this morning and have another person pray with you, you're welcome to come forward as we sing this song. And as we go with the Lord this week, be looking for the calls in your life that He makes us new people through His kindness and grace. Let's stand together as we sing.